Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. God of mercy, your covenant with us is never broken. Amid all the changing words of our time, speak your eternal word that does not change. As we hear, may we respond to your promise and your call, and with lives of faithfulness and blessing, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 1, chapter 5, 1 through 12, and chapter 7, 1 through 12. Now King Hiram of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon, when he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend to David. Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the warfare with which his enemies surrounded him, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to my father David. Your son, whom I sent on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. Therefore command that cedars from the Lebanon be cut for me. My servants will join your servants, and I will give you whatever wages you set for your servants. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord today who has given to David a wise son to be over his great people." Hiram sent word to Solomon, "I have heard the message that you have sent to me. I will fulfill all your needs in the matter of cedar and cypress timber. My servants shall bring it down to the sea from the Lebanon. I will make it into rafts to go by sea to the place where you indicate. I will have them broken up there for you to take away, and you shall meet my needs by providing food for my household." So Hiram supplied Solomon's every need for timber of cedar and cypress. Solomon in turn gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of fine oil. Solomon gave this to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him. There was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished his entire house. He built the house of the forest of the Lebanon, 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high, built on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. It was roofed with cedar on the 45 rafters, 15 in each row, which were on the pillars. There were window frames in the three rows, facing each other in the three rows. All the doorways and doorposts had four-sided frames opposite, facing each other in the three rows. He made the hall of pillars 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. There was a porch in front with pillars and a canopy in front of them. He made the hall of the throne where he was to pronounce judgment, the hall of justice, covered with cedar from floor to floor. His own house, where he would reside in the other court back of the hall, was of the same construction. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken in marriage. All these were made of costly stones, cut according to measure, sawed with saws, back and front, from the foundation to the coping, and from outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, huge stones, stones of 8 and 10 cubits. There were costly stones above, cut to measure, and cedar wood. The great court had three courses of dressed stone to one layer of cedar beams all around. so had the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the house.
So Hiram supplied Solomon's every need for timber of cedar and cypress. Solomon, in turn, gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of fine oil. Solomon gave this to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. There was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty, a covenant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A child went to visit their grandmother. Grandma was a farmer by disposition, but she lived in town. You've met people like that. She lived on this cozy lot with a fenced backyard, and there were mature apple trees right along that north fence line. And the grandchild asked their grandma how she got to pick the apples on the other side of the fence. How do you get over there to do that? And grandma said, "I don't. My neighbor's grandchildren pick those apples." The grandchild was disappointed and a little offended. "Isn't that stealing? You should tell them not to do that." And grandma pointed to her own lush vegetable garden as it was just winding down the harvest. And then she pointed across the fence to the wildflower plots and the shrubs in her neighbor's yard. And grandma said, "I give my neighbor apples for crunching on and for making pie, and she gives me bees to pollinate and wasps to catch the harmful insects in my yard." Scripture knows that God's blessings don't run out when we share them across boundaries. We have this story today of Solomon building houses. He built a house for God. He built a house for Solomon. He built a house for King Hiram of Tyre, or at least supplied the house of King Hiram of Tyre. Last week, we remembered that the official center of worship in Israel was the Ark of the Covenant that had moved with the people of Israel through the desert as they left the land of Egypt and came into the land that God had promised them. And so far, the Ark of the Covenant is located in Jerusalem, and it was protected by the very same tent that had protected it as it moved through the desert. Solomon's father, the great King David, had wanted to build a permanent house for God, and instead, God built David a house, so to speak, a royal dynasty. God said, "Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build a house for my name." That descendant, that heir, that is really what the promise to a king is all about, isn't it? The temple that Solomon gets ready to build today, the temple is larger and more permanent than that tent. And Solomon's palace that he builds is even larger than that and much more grand than the temple. Humans tend to keep looking for something bigger, larger, more grand to move into and onto. And Solomon built this temple and the palace with wood from the forest of Lebanon, harvested by the Sidonians who were hired by King Tyre. And so the house of the King Hiram of Tyre was also built up by this arrangement with King Solomon. We remember King Solomon for three things. We remember him for his wisdom, for his wealth, and for the peace that his kingdom enjoyed during his time. And the story today connects all three of those things together. We saw Solomon's wisdom last week in the matter of justice, that complicated story that Solomon had to adjudicate. Solomon will
get a whole room for justice in the palace that he builds. He's got a whole throne room where he sits in judgment and pronounces wise justice for the people of Israel. We also see wisdom in his economic affairs this week as he enters into this mutually beneficial deal with King Hiram. And we see his peace in this story written down in that peace treaty between Hiram and Solomon, between the people of Tyre and the people of Israel, that peace that is reinforced by this exchange of riches between these kingdoms. It turns out that international trade is a pretty good peace program. Now, Solomon's wisdom and justice are not quite pure here. Solomon is a very human king. The glory of the temple and the even greater glory of his palace, those come from extracting labor and resources from the people of Israel. You can see the end of chapter 5 for some details on exactly where that wealth came from. Now, economic organization was a different matter in the ancient world than it is today, but we also know as we read on in this story that Solomon's labor practices are going to directly undermine the welfare and stability of his kingdom after his death. Which is to remind us that everything we do has this mix of holy and sinful effects in the world. And so that calls us, I think, to be self-reflective about our own actions, the ways that we seek to serve God's glory in the world. It asks us to look at where we allow ourselves to overshadow God, where we serve ourselves more than we are serving God, the ways that we are serving ourselves more than we serve the other human beings on whom we may depend. But Solomon, he's still wise even despite himself. Even despite himself, God's grace is not limited by our sinfulness. The monarchy itself is pointing beyond itself to God's reign among humanity. We look forward from this story today. We look forward to Jesus coming to dwell among us as Savior and Lord, the one who will be successor to both of those houses that Solomon builds, both the temple and the palace. Jesus will come to be the Son of God and the Son of David. Jesus will carry in his own flesh that divine wisdom that Solomon could only reflect, the wisdom to serve only justice and righteousness, not to serve himself or untruth. Jesus fulfills and inverts that royal status that Solomon wears so grandly. Jesus comes as the king who will serve the ones that Solomon may have used to serve himself. Jesus is the one who comes to use God's power always and only for healing and restoration. And Jesus will be particularly antagonistic toward the temple, the successor temple after this temple that Solomon builds is destroyed. Jesus will begin his ministry by disrupting the temple's system of sacrifice. The climax of Jesus' ministry will absorb that entire ritual sacrificial system into his very own body, his very own life. In Jesus, God does not need to dwell in a temple. God dwells directly with humanity. As a priest beyond some ritual system, as a king beyond any ideas of human authority, by the Holy Spirit, Christ is present in each Christian and every congregation where we gather. Jesus is God's presence among us, beyond the glory of one nation or one denomination. Jesus is God's presence among us that we can share with all people, and as we share that presence, it doesn't take that presence away from any of us. The Holy Spirit led the early Jewish Christians to share God's presence beyond the Jewish community with the Gentiles. It led those Christians based in the land of Palestine to share God's presence with people from Europe and Asia and Africa. That same Holy Spirit leads us to share God's blessings with people who are enslaved and impoverished, with people who are excluded or marginalized because of their occupation or their cultural identity, their orientation, or their gender. And so we are invited to share those blessings beyond ourselves, to bear fruit over across that fence line. Sometimes we do that literally, like just east of this building, where we literally share produce that's grown right on top of a property line between our church, as we call it, and someone else's church, as we imagine it to be. We bear fruit across those boundaries by hosting groups right here in the building like Alcoholics Anonymous and Toastmasters, who lift each other up and share that love and support with each other. We even share that gift beyond ourselves when we welcome families from our neighborhood and beyond to a trunk or treat in just a week and a half. And so I give thanks to God that Christ's love only grows when we share that love with others, that Christ's love builds us up into greater blessing than we thought we could possibly offer. We give thanks for the gift of Christ's love, Christ's presence with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission today supports Hope Ministries. You'll see a video here giving a quick tour. This is going to run at double speed for you today. A quick tour of another large building project. Hope Ministries has completed a 2-year renovation of the Bethel Mission Men's Shelter. Bethel Mission reopened in mid-June with a ribbon cutting and a prayer of dedication. It has an enlarged dorm, new showers and restrooms, and expanded classroom space. It has updates to the chapel, Hope Cafe, the day room, and the intake area, all to improve not only the functionality of those spaces, but also the welcoming environment. One life changed at Bethel Mission was Jeff's. Jeff is convinced that if he had not come to Hope Ministries earlier this year, he wouldn't be alive today. Drug and alcohol abuse had taken their toll, an addiction that began when Jeff tried marijuana for the first time at only 8 years old. At age 40, he found himself homeless, living in a storage unit in Florida, broken and alone. "I felt so much shame," he remembers. "I'd gone from being a fitness trainer for wealthy people to living in a storage unit, riding my bike to the laundromat, carrying all my clothes in a garbage bag. I had a gym membership, so at least I had a place to shower, but eventually I couldn't even afford that." Plus, Jeff's sister called to let him know that back in Iowa, where he'd grown up, his mom was very sick. And during the call, she begged him to get help for his addiction. "I tried to get into a treatment program in Florida, but it was a 3-month wait. I didn't have 3 months. With every bender, I was that much closer to death." Desperate, he got on his knees and prayed for a way home. Thankfully, he made it to Iowa. But several days of living in his car during winter led to frostbite, which landed him in the hospital. And that's when he called Hope Ministries. When he was released from the hospital, he came to Bethel Mission, the men's shelter. Jeff says, "I was so thankful just to be out of the cold and to be somewhere safe. I hadn't showered in 16 days. I hadn't shaved. I was a mess." At the shelter, Jeff no longer has to worry about where he's going to sleep at night. He doesn't have to stress about paying for laundry or where he's going to take his next shower. He is receiving 3 free meals every day, and he's receiving nourishment for his soul as well. This place is so good for people who are in active addiction and who don't know what else to do. When you're caught in that cycle, every dollar you get goes to feed your addiction, and getting out of it is so hard. But God wants us to get out of this addiction and despair. He wants us to change. There's hope for all of us. Jeff is grateful for the support of his mom, dad, and sister, and for the support system he's building through healthy friendships. And though he never wants to go back to the way his life used to be, he's grateful that it led him to where he is now. He says, "I had to be broken in order to shine light, like one of those glow sticks that you have to bend and break for it to light up. I didn't know where to go or where to turn, but God brought me here. He gave me a purpose. My limited past has nothing to do with my future. My future is limitless."
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.